I've known Sam Scanton a long time, and I've loved him ever since I first knew him. He's a wonderful chap. He practices what he's been preaching here this morning. He can lift more oil field machinery. Matter of fact, when he began, that's what he was doing. And he is a living example of what he's been saying to us this morning. We come now to the time for the Committee on Baptist Circulation Campaign, but that was considered with Brother Barry Garrett's report on last evening, so we'll pass by and gain some time, which at the conclusion of the American Bible Society's report brought to us by Brother Holloway, Brother Joe Burton has claimed a point of personal privilege, which I have granted. Brother Holloway, please, sir.
Dr. Storer and fellow members of the Southern Baptist Convention, as I come this morning to speak to you about our Bible Society, I speak as a Southern Baptist and speak with you about the interest that you and I have in getting the Bible into the hands of people around the world in their language, that God might speak to their hearts. Will you stand with me in imagination as we are out in the desert there in northwest India, where a man who has been a native of India, born of British parents, a surveyor for the government, but a Christian man who seeks to give his witness as he goes, has sent out his messengers to say, as he's gone surveying all through the day, and then comes to the camp for the evening. The messengers have gone to those little oases around and have given the message saying, my master will be here this evening, and after the evening meal, he would like to see you. And so the men from those neighboring villages, those oases in the desert, have come in. And there this young man, this Christian layman, stands and speaks to them about Christ, the message that redeems and transforms. And speaking there, that man has the feeling that he's speaking to those who have never heard the name of Christ before, speaking to them in their own language. Then at the close, after he has poured out his heart to them, there comes to him out of that crowd an old man, the son of a king. And there, standing in the moonlight, he comes and says, young man, these things that you've been telling us tonight, how do you know them? You're only a young man. And he speaks with courtesy towards him and says, Father, I'm only a young man. I speak not of things that I know by my righteousness or my own merit, but I speak things which God has given us in a book. A book to give to men, his message of love and of redemption. The old man then says to him, is that book in my language? He said, you spoke here in my language tonight. The young man says, yes, it's in your language. And then the old man standing there said, young man, get me that book. And back to his tent he went, brought two copies of the Bible there in the language of that section of India, placed one in the hands of the old man. The old man then said, this book is in my language. How long has this book been in the world? The young man had to say, nearly 2,000 years. And how long has it been in my language? And he told him a comparatively short number of years. And then he said, I'm an old man and my fathers are gone and I'm almost gone. Why hasn't someone brought us the book before? And that question of the old man there in the desert in India comes to every one of us. Why hasn't someone brought us the book before? You and your church and your Bible Society, working together, seek to give an answer to that man and to all others like him, to bring them God's Word. Your American Bible Society then seeks, through helping translators, to get the Word of God into the language of every man that it might speak to his heart. Seeks then to get it published, put into book form where it can be put into his hand, and then to provide those who will take it to him wherever he may live. That is the work in which you and I have a part. And so, just for a moment, let me sketch to you this morning some of the things that have been done this last year, seeking to take the word to those who need it and are hungry for it. You say, in round numbers, how many volumes has the Bible Society distributed? Something more than 15 million. In 1953. And how does it divide up? Roughly 9.5 million in this country, and 5.5 million to people around the world. But think of it, in this country, that 81 languages were distributed right here in our melting pot of the nations in America. And we can say with gratitude that a 5-year program begun in 1948 has been completed, and we've been able to double the circulation of the scriptures here in our own land, trying to find a Christian base from which this word can go to all the world and strengthen the home base as we extend the scriptures over the world. And we record with gratitude then that accomplishment. This last year, in various spots around the world, what has been going on? Places where you and I are tremendously interested in getting God's word to the people. First of all, you'd say, how many of these languages now have it? Well, 1,077, if you'd like to put it down in any note you're taking. 1,077 languages now with some part of God's Word. 200 languages with the full, complete Bible. 257 more with a New Testament. And 610 more with one book of the Bible. It isn't all the work of the American Bible Society. We have colleagues, the British and Foreign Bible Society, which is the oldest, and other Bible societies of a national organization, 24 countries around the world, all working together on this task. But what has the American Bible Society done then in helping in these spots where you and I are so tremendously interested? Japan continues to be a center of interest. And there we can report that the heart hunger that has called for millions of volumes of scriptures year by year since Japan was open to the gospel at the close of the war, that demand continues. And all during the war, a translation revision committee had been working that they might get God's word in the Japanese language to speak more clearly, in the language even of the common people who did not understand the literary language in which the Bible had first been translated. The whole New Testament now has been published in that simplified language. And the Old Testament is being completed. For they said, this book, which speaks God's message to all men, must speak in the language that men understand easily. Korea likewise, where we are bringing there to those who are homeless and destitute, the Word of God in their language, on round through the rest of the Asiatic countries, shut out of China proper, but working in Formosa, in Hong Kong, and in all of those areas where Chinese people are, with God's Word in their language. Around then to Africa, to the various portions of Europe where there's a famine still for God's word. We have stacked up and ready to go into Russia when the door is opened, millions of volumes of scriptures already, and are distributing up and down the borders there where there are Russian-speaking people, copies of God's word, and trusting that some of them there, as they may go back and forth through the Iron Curtain, take God's word with them. Back again then, around to our own country, and to say one thing of the plans and the needs for this coming year. It's the 150th anniversary of Bible Society work this year. 1804, the British and Foreign Bible Society was formed. And all of us are helping then to celebrate it. Celebrate it in this way, by seeking to do a better job of giving God's word to the people of the world. Stepping up the increasing proportion of scriptures to be sent overseas, where they're hungry for the word of God. And so we seek to raise the level of scripture distribution from 25 million volumes in a year, distributed by the Bible societies, to 50 million volumes a year, which is something like an adequate supply for missionary needs. Southern Baptist this last year gave $102,000 plus to the American Bible Society, and thank you for your gifts. But as you and I face this future with an expanding missionary program of advance by our Foreign Mission Board, remember that in every missionary advance, the Bible goes forward first. The Bible is the tool of the missionary, and the distribution of God's word is the sowing of the seed, where the missionaries can go in and reap the harvest. And we work together. Let us undergird our foreign mission work by giving them an adequate supply of the scriptures they need. And you and I as Baptists will rejoice then that we can take an increasing part in this work, which is our work, of giving God's word without note or comment, selling it at way under cost when it's sold, and giving it freely when it needs to be given, men might find Christ speaking to their own hearts and come to know him as the Savior and Lord of their lives.
Thank you, Brother Holloway. Brother Joe Burton has asked for a point of personal privilege, which I have granted to him. We are a bit ahead of our time, and so it will not infringe on the time of the next item.
Brother President, first of all, may I make a motion that the Secretary be authorized to publish in the Convention Annual a brief report of the American Bible Society. We appreciate the work of this great agency. It's vital to our own life, and yet it is not an agency of our convention, and so we must have authorization if we are to publish such a report. I so move.
Motion is made and seconded. Are there any questions or remarks? Those in favor will please say aye. Contrary-minded, no. It is so ordered.
Brother President, I thank you for this brief moment. This is the 97th session of the Southern Baptist Convention, the 109th year. In these years and in all of these sessions, this is the first time, by reason of death or for any other cause, the work of the office of the Secretary has been performed by one man. I call this to your attention not to remind you of any small service that I may have rendered, for the work has not been done by a man, but in the main by two women. And I want to call to your attention the service that has been rendered to this convention by two women of unfailing devotion and love for this convention and for the cause of Christ. Mrs. W. O. Benson, who for eight successive years has assisted in the enrollment of messengers and the service rendered to you at the registration desk, and Miss Clara McCart, both of whom I say have worked literally day and night in the interest of this convention, and I felt it only fair to my conscience and a tribute that you would want paid for me to say this word of appreciation. And as I speak it, I voice the hope and the prayer that such circumstances will not develop again to cause such an arrangement when one man has to do the job along with any number of women for another 1,000 years. Another matter of great interest to you. 30 minutes ago, when I asked for the personal privilege, the enrollment stood at 10,957. We lacked then only three of reaching the second highest enrollment in the history of this convention. In these 30 minutes since then, five have registered as messengers to this convention, and so the total now stands 10,962, which is exactly two more than enrolled in Miami in 1951, but is little more than 2,000 less than the 12,976 who were enrolled last year at Houston, Texas.
Just a minute, please, Sir Joe. You're going to do it, or I'm going to do it? I don't know what you're going to do.
But I just wanted to say this, that Brother Burton he's very modest about this matter, but what a load he has carried during this convention. Brother,
was that what you were going to say?
You
can do it better than I. Go on.
I wanted to ask Dr. Storrick to turn the gavel over to Dr. Westmoreland. I think it's time that you should do that for just a moment.
Before you do this, we do have to vote on this matter, and those who are in favor of voting for it will please let it be made known by saying aye. Contrary, mind, no. Do you know what you're voting on?
It's on the American Bible Society.
It is on the adoption of the report of the American Bible Society, which, as Brother Burton said to you, had to be voted upon by us in order that it might go in the minutes. Now, will you take the vote? Those who are in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
No? It is so carried and so ordered.
Now, Mr. President, we've gotten the President out of the chair for just a moment. And I should like to make a motion that Dr. Storer's presidential address be made a part of the record and published after the proceedings. All of us, I know, were challenged by the wonderful address he brought on Wednesday, and we would want it to be a part of the permanent record. I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Is there a second? The motion is made and seconded. Is there discussion? If not, if you favor the motion, you'll make it known by saying aye.
Aye.
If you're opposed, you will say no. There could be no opposition. And the motion is carried. I'd like to claim a point of personal privilege at this time, and I'd like to ask Dr. Storer and Ms. Storer to come and stand alongside him. Dr. and Ms. Storer will have just a week's rest, and then they will be flying from New York for a European tour. While they are in Europe, Dr. Storer and Ms. Storer will visit our mission stations in Rome. He will deliver six lectures at our Baptist seminary at Rouge-le-Conne. They will visit the publishing house at Kassel, and then he will be the inspirational speaker for a retreat for our European chaplains at Berchtesgaden, July 6th through the 9th. They will visit the German seminary at Hamburg and will return back to the States, due back in New York, on July 21st. Dr. and Mrs. Storer are going on this trip at their own expense. And I know that we're going to be upholding them in prayer as they go. And I would like at this time to ask the Secretary of our Foreign Mission Board, Dr. Baker James Cawthon, come and lead us in a special prayer that God's protection may be about them and that his blessing may attend them as they go on this mission journey.
Mr. President, for the prayer, I wonder if all of us wouldn't like to stand in a tribute of love to these two dear friends. Our Father, we thank thee that thou hast given to us the leadership of this splendid man of God, whose presiding, whose careful judgments, and whose warm spiritual glow has blessed all of us during the sessions of this convention. We thank thee for Mrs. Storer, who stands by his side, and whose lovely Christian spirit warms all of our hearts, now as they will make their journey to Europe for a special assignment. We pray for them thy traveling mercies, which thou dost so often grant to thy servants as they go about the world. We pray that as they journey, they may have health and strength, and that they may have that strong spiritual undergirding, so that as they contact the various groups of people to whom they will be going, those who will receive their message will feel that Christ has come nearer to them by the visit of these his servants. We pray that as they go, they may go as messengers of this convention, bearing to smaller groups of Baptists in various places the assurance of our love and comradeship, of our brotherhood in Christ Jesus. We pray that those who assemble in other lands, not having the benefit of such large, thrilling numbers as we have here, may by the coming of this our president receive encouragement and inspiration. We pray that they may have the joy of returning again to this country, knowing that there are new names enrolled in heaven because of the message in the name of Christ they will bear to needy hearts. Be thou with them all along the way, and bring out of this journey much more than they have even anticipated might be a possibility. And we pray that the wonderful influence that they have exerted here in the meeting of this convention may go on through the days ahead, bearing fruit to the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Westmoreland has given me back the gavel, therefore it is mine to say a word now. You know, in the very untimely going of Brother Camel, our second vice president, all the work of presiding has developed and come about upon the shoulders of Brother Westmoreland and the one who is now speaking. How wonderfully he has helped me in every way. If you will not misunderstand me, I never had a finer vice. And I'm so grateful, Brother Westmoreland, for your leadership and for your very comradely spirit. And I know all of us appreciate you. And, oh, I do love you.
Thank you, Dr. Stora. May I say it's been a wonderful joy to serve as the man who has tried to support and uphold our president during this convention. I have thoroughly enjoyed this convention, the first one that I've ever attended every moment and every session. And I found out that it's a greater blessing to be an officer and find it necessary to be here than just to be a messenger with the option of coming and going at will. It's been a real joy to serve with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Westmoreland. That's right. You know, when you're elected an officer, you can't go to these ball games. Yes, sir.
What's his name?
W.B. T.B. Lackey. The president asked me to announce this committee called for by the Reuben Alley resolution. S.H. Jones, South Carolina chairman. W.B. Lackey.
T.B.
Lackey, Oklahoma. Judge Frankie Hooper, Georgia. Ralph Grant, Texas. Claude Bowen, North Carolina. W.R. Pettigrew, Kentucky. Henry W. Tiffany, Virginia.
Thank you, sir. We are now come to the time for the Committee on Audiovisual Aids, of which Brother J. Norris Palmer is chairman. Brother Palmer.
Brother President, you will find the report of the Committee on Audiovisual Education on page 316 of your book of reports. The report carries one recommendation, and with your permission, I shall read it. In view of the foregoing, referring to facts that are set forth in the body of the report, of course, and with the belief that the plan of operation set up by the convention in its 1950 session is now well established, we recommend that your committee be discharged, it being understood that it is the purpose of those now active in audiovisual fields for this convention to establish a joint conference committee for study and planning. Of course, the purpose of this recommendation is to transfer the duties that have been in the hands of the committee appointed from year to year since the 1950 convention, beginning then and from year to year since, under the name that is now carried by this committee, to the hands of a planning group, a joint conference committee, to be set up by the agencies active in this field for the purpose of carrying on study and doing planning. Brother President, I move the adoption of the report with the recommendation.
You've heard the motion and second. Are you ready for the question? Are there any questions you wish to ask him? Then those who are in favor of the motion will please let it be made known by saying aye. Contrary-minded, no, it is so ordered.
I'm sure that all of you know well the very fine and outstanding work that has been done by Mr. Earl Waldrop as Secretary of the Department of Audiovisual Aids for the Sunday School Board. It was the wish of our committee that the time allotted us this morning be taken by Mr. Waldrop, used by him as he might see fit to use it in bringing you information concerning the work that is now being done in the field of audiovisual education. Mr. Earl Waldrop.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. First of all, we would like to express our appreciation to Dr. Palmer and this committee for the fine work they've done during these past 4 years. They have been most sympathetic to our problems and always alert to opportunities for implementing the program for the good of the whole denomination. At the 1951 convention in San Francisco, when this committee made its first report, which was 1 year after the convention had assigned to the Sunday School Board the responsibility of producing audiovisual aids, we suggested at that time five objectives toward which we proposed to work. These objectives were, first, to maintain a quality production service capable of meeting the production needs of every Baptist agency on a cooperative basis. Second, to maintain an aggressive production program which will meet the needs of the churches for audiovisuals in the areas for which the Sunday School Board is directly responsible. Third, to continue to plan and promote an educational program which will help pastors, educational directors, and others in the churches to use audiovisuals with maximum results. And four, to maintain a distribution program which will make the best in all types of audiovisuals available with maximum efficiency and at minimum expense to the people. And five, to harness all the resources of this rapidly expanding field to win the lost to Christ, to teach and to train the saved, and to enlist them in a happy and fruitful life of Christian service. After 4 years, we're still working toward these objectives because they seem basic to us, to the program which we feel the convention authorized us to carry on. So by way of report, I call your attention to several things in addition to what you find in your book of reports. First, I think you'll be interested in the extent of growth since the program was started in 1950. Measured in terms of dollars and cents, Southern Baptist agencies, institutions, and churches will invest well over $1 million this year in audiovisuals. In terms of the staff of workers, all of us together have over 50 people devoting all of their time to the production, distribution, and promotion of different types of audiovisuals. In terms of the materials produced thus far, we now have in circulation 38 motion pictures, 68 film strips, and numerous other items of an audiovisual nature, all tailored specifically to Southern Baptist needs and programs. And in terms of utilization, both the extent and the effectiveness have progressed far beyond our highest expectations for this point of the program. The Sunday School Board now has a complete motion picture production unit and a complete film strip production unit in Nashville available to any and all agencies which may require that type of service. Of equal significance, we think also, is our chain of 29 film libraries serving our people with the latest and the best in audiovisuals. Other outlets closer to the churches are being established as rapidly as needs justify. Another phase of the program which is paying big dividends is our counseling service to other religious film producers. Through this service, we maintain contacts with the film industry, making available to our people the best technical facilities in the nation and at a price we can afford to pay. Through these contacts, we also keep the Baptist position and the Baptist program before the people who create the films which ultimately are used in our churches. And since Southern Baptist are the largest single outlet for religious films, most producers not only accept but seek the counsel, our counsel, in the production of their materials. In building the Sunday School Board program in the area of audiovisuals, we constantly remind ourselves that we represent only one interest of the convention, and that to achieve maximum spiritual results, the program of each agency must be coordinated with that of the others. Practical expressions of this philosophy are represented in cooperative projects developed in 1953 with a number of the agencies, one with the Foreign Mission Board, others with the Home Mission Board, the Brotherhood Commission, the Executive Committee, the Baptist Child Care Executives, Southwestern Seminary, the Baptist Foundation, and the Oklahoma Baptist Orphanage. One prominent Baptist leader put it this way: we're all on the same team, so let's play together. The test is not whether we can carry the ball, but whether we can function in the position the coach assigns us. The staff and the program of the Sunday School Board are dedicated to this end.
Thank you very, very much. All of us appreciate sincerely the work of this committee, and we will carry the recommendations to our churches and their suggestions in our hearts. Now we have come to the special time for the special music by the chapel singers of this. By the chapel singers of the Southern Illinois College of Bible. Brother. And we are ready for that now. We will listen to them gladly and prayerfully.
Thank you.
lovely, wasn't it? Just lovely. We have come now to the last order of this session of our...